So James chapter 1, read along with me. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Father, speak to us, your people. Speak to us because we need to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Father, we gather as a community, and I pray that one of our main purposes is to not just to be with friends and to enjoy each other's company, but to be in your presence, to hear from you, to love you, to pray to you, to ask you, Father, to forgive us for the sins of this week. Lord, we want to hear from you. And we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that you took ordinary men and women, and Lord, that you use their lives and that you speak to us through them, through their stories, through their pain, through their wisdom, through their lives. And I pray that we will be attentive to what you have to say to us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to imagine here that Pastor James, all right, is getting letters from all over, from people far and wide, all over the place. And as he begins to read these letters, there's a common theme, it seems, and people are writing to James just about the trials and the tribulations and the problems that they are facing. Some of them are saying, ever since I've become a Christian, these are some of, you know, the new problems that I now have in my life. And other people might be talking about just day-to-day issues, maybe with relationships, maybe with jobs, maybe with, you know, just struggling with children, or maybe they're at odds with the government or other people in the community. So problem and issue after issue, he's reading about that, or he's hearing about that from people who know what's taking place. And James feels that he needs to respond to the people who are writing him. And he has a burden for his people, and he asks the Lord for wisdom. Lord, how do I speak to your people? What do I say to them when they share with me all the trials and the troubles and the tribulations that they are going through? And so James gets right into that topic as soon as he starts writing. Verse 3, at the very, very start, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." There's not a lot of room for greetings, just a short greetings, and that's it. But so he wants to talk to the disciples of Jesus. What do you do when you have trials, when you have tribulations, when you're going through a hard time? And it's interesting because James' major assumption here is that trials, troubles, that they are normal. See, he says, when you encounter various trials, they are normal. Oh, disciples of Jesus, consider this, that when you encounter trials and difficulties and adversity and pain and suffering, I want you to say to yourself, okay, there's something normal about this. Now, it's a recurring theme, actually, in the New Testament. Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, said to his disciples, "In me you will have peace, but I want you to know that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." And then Paul, when he's writing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a fact. In fact, it will happen. And then Peter, again, writing to his people, he says in 1 Peter 4:12, he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. Do you notice that? Over and over again, all these authors are saying, I want you to realize that this is normal. It's not out of the ordinary when you're going to go through difficult times. And it brings up the question, why might people think that it's not normal? Well, there's a number of possible answers to that. Maybe when they first encountered Jesus and the Spirit of God, I mean, so many of their problems just disappeared in their life. So many things were made right that they thought to themselves, surely from this point on, everything is going to get better and better and better, and the road is going to be smooth, and everything is going to work out fine. I remember, again, my brother who had a powerful experience with the Spirit of God, and he was just saying, oh, I just love to get into the Word of God now, and I just, you know, things are really working out well with my family and a job. Everything is going really well. And then a few months later, he calls and he says, Vic, I don't understand. I seem to have lost that, you know, that desire to be in the Word all the time. And prayer seems to be a struggle now. And like, what's going on? You see, for him, all of a sudden, you know, these trials didn't seem normal anymore. And so sometimes it may be that, you know, when people encounter Jesus, so many of their problems are lifted from their shoulders that they think from this point on, everything is going to work out just fine. But it's also possible that people may think, well, if God really loves me, he's going to keep me from suffering, from pain, from trials. Maybe it's some false theology that people picked up, like we hear today about the health and wealth movement. You know, that if you come to know Jesus, you're going to be healthy and you're going to be wealthy. And, you know, if you have enough faith, none of these terrible things are going to happen to you. So there's all kinds of reasons and possibilities why people might think that the trials and the difficulties in life, might just not be normal. But James comes along and he wants to set this record straight. You are going to encounter trials and troubles and tribulations. Hey, it's normal, all right? You know, I think I shared this with some of you, but I recall when Karen was giving birth to our firstborn, and I was in the labor room with her, and at one point I walked out, and one of the nurses came up to me and said, Mr. Diaz, what your wife is going through is normal. I said, what? That's not the way it's done in the movies, that's for sure, that I've seen, but, you know, I thought about this young woman that I had a conversation with when I was in my early 20s. She was a kind of hippie, and she had a child, and I don't know how we got onto this topic, but she said to me, you know, I feel sorry for you guys because you will never know what it means to give birth to a child, the glory of it. And having been in that room, I could relate more to the old Jewish prayer, Lord, I thank you that I was not born a woman. I'm pretty sure that, you know, some Jewish rabbi had just seen his wife give birth, and that's where that prayer comes from. But wow, it was just when she came up to me and said, oh, you know, this is normal. And so the second time when she's suffering and yelling, don't worry, honey, it's normal, you know, just... Don't worry, you'll get through it. It's okay. So you just have to go through this. So here's James saying the same thing. You know, you're worried. You're wondering, does God love me? Has something happened? Maybe he stopped loving me? No. This is a normal part of growing up as a Christian. you're going to encounter trials. You get into ministry and you think, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to become a pastor and it's all glorious. No. You're going to experience trials and it's normal. How glorious. I'm going to be a parent. He's going to grow up and she's going to grow up and love me and thank me and everything is going to go great. No, you're going to experience trials and that's going to be normal. You live with other flawed people in a church community. You're going to experience trials. It's going to be normal. You're a human being living in a fallen world now. You will encounter trials, but it's normal. So that's where James starts. You know, there's a saying that life is like a roller coaster. You ever hear that? And that is such a great metaphor that I think James would totally agree with. There are times, you know, that even as believers, that when you're feeling like you're going up, 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 oh, I'm just so close to God, everything, like I'm almost in heaven. And then just a little later, you're like all the way down. Lord, I'm going to hell. And there's that, like, you go from being really high up to being, you know, to just going, everything seems to be going straight down. There's times when you think you're free and you can raise up your arms and, like, just feel the breeze. And then there'll be other times that you're hanging on to dear life. You know, there's times that, the road will be pretty smooth and you can see what's happening. It's going, you know, pretty straight and then all of a sudden, there's going to be twists and turns. There's sometimes when you're going to be right side up and, you know, everything's going to kind of make sense, and other times where you're going to be upside down. Life is a roller coaster. And I know when we were in Florida, somebody came up with this idea of putting a camera right when you're going down at the twists and the turns at the hard spots. And then when you get off, you can see pictures of everybody that was on the roller coaster, right? Like, really? So some people, you can see it in their faces, terrified, hanging on. Other people with their arms up, with a big smile on their face, and you know that they've been through this before because they're looking at the camera, they know exactly where it is. But the person who designed the roller coaster did it not so that you would hate it and never want to go back, but almost like, you know, when you get on it, he's be like, hey, don't forget to enjoy the ride. I think that's what James is telling us as well. You know, we're going to go through this life. Don't forget to enjoy the ride. Yeah, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be twists. There's going to be, you know, sometimes you're going to be hanging on. But remember, enjoy the ride. And that's what James is saying to us as Christians, to each Christian. As you get started in this roller coaster of a ride, you've come to faith now. It's real and legitimate. Now, don't forget to enjoy the ride. You ever think about that? That as disciples of Jesus, you are called to enjoy the ride? We are called to rejoice despite our trials. You know, before we were disciples, we rejoiced when things were going well. Now, as a disciple of Jesus, we are to rejoice even when things are not going so well. So here's what we're not to say to ourselves, you know, do not count it all depression and sadness, which is probably what we would say when we go through trials. James would say, don't consider it a matter for anger and frustration when you meet adversity. Don't count it time completely wasted and pointless when you meet adversity, right? Because this is the counsel we often give ourselves. And James, the servant of the Lord, the pastor counselor, writes, "Consider it all joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." All right, so we need to ask ourselves, all right, what exactly does that mean? And let me start by saying what it doesn't mean. It does not mean to rejoice in the trial itself. James isn't suggesting that we are to rejoice, oh, I just love pain, or I love suffering, or I love sorrow. Oh, I just love it when people I love die. Oh, I love being punched in the face. That's not what he's saying. It's not rejoice in the pain and in the suffering and in the trial itself. That's very unnatural, unrealistic, and it's unchristian. We must never desensitize ourselves to our own pain and sorrow, nor the pain and sorrow that other people are going through. We see Jesus weeping at a friend's funeral, felt pity when he saw people hungry and lost. And there were times when life got so difficult where he prayed, "Lord, let this cup pass." So we're not to rejoice in the trial, in the pain, in the suffering as if it's an end in itself. That's not the goal. But James wants us as disciples to consider it all joy while we're experiencing trials. And by the way, what he's saying here is don't passively allow the trial to weigh you down and to crush you, okay? So when he says count it all joy, he's saying, look, when you're going through trials, don't just passively allow it to happen to you in a sense. You need to be thinking. You need to be considering things. You need to be counting things. And he says, I want you to think about what is going on, what is taking place. But more importantly, I want you to remember that God is in it, that God is with you. And the assumption that James has here is that the reason that we are able to rejoice is because the trials are meaningful. They are not pointless. So again, imagine, a surgeon cutting into a person's body to just remove a tumor. We can rejoice that there is a surgeon who is knowledgeable, who knows how to get rid of tumors, that he's there to save our lives. What we don't do is, oh, how great, he's going to open me up. I'm going to get a scar for life, and that's what I'm to be rejoicing about. That's not what you're rejoicing in. You rejoice in the goal. You rejoice in the purpose of what is about to take place. And so the joy that we can have during trials is rooted in knowing that God loves us and that he has a purpose for our trials. Now notice that James says, rejoice because you know, okay? It's not because you feel something necessarily when you're going through these trials. It's because of what you know. He's assuming that people already know the scriptures, and now what they need to do is begin to apply them. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good. So if you don't know that, it's pointless. You're gonna suffer. Why am I going through all this? Or even if you've read about it, but you're not applying it to when you're going through a trial, likewise, it's not going to make any difference in terms of bringing joy into your life when you're going through difficult circumstances. What do you think of that video that we saw this morning of Johnny Erickson Tara? Now, that trial that she went through has to be up there as probably one of the most difficult trials that we can experience in life. And she's an amazing lady. I encourage you to read her autobiography and all the rest of the books that she wrote. But here's what she said about suffering. God engineered the circumstances. He used them to prove himself as well as my loyalty. Not everyone had this privilege. I felt there were only a few people God cared for in such a special way that he would trust them with this kind of experience. This understanding left me relaxed and comfortable as I relied on his love, exercising newly learned trust. I saw that my injury was not a tragedy, but a gift that God was using to help me conform to the image of Christ, something that would mean my ultimate satisfaction, happiness, and even joy. What a testimony. She had learned that you can rejoice in the trials that God sends your way. So as I said, we can't rejoice at the loss of health. We can't rejoice at the loss of our job and relationships, but we can rejoice that God is in it. We can rejoice that he is able to make all things work out for the good. We can rejoice that he's working in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure, that he's growing us spiritually and maturing us, that he's training us for service so that we can be a blessing to others. We can rejoice at the fact that we're getting to know God, getting to know his love, his power, and his wisdom. And of course, this doesn't come naturally to us, but it's the work of the Spirit in our lives to help us, focus us on who Jesus is and what he's doing in our lives. Now, James says here that the trials are there to test our faith. Okay, every person in the Bible had their faith tested. Even Jesus was tested. And so again, we ask, well, what's the purpose of this testing? And I think we can focus in at least three purposes for people. Always remember this, that when you're going through faith, that God is allowing you to see who you are and where you're at. It's important. He wants us to live in reality. Now, one of the best examples of a person who just didn't really know who he was and always thought that his faith was greater than it was and that his love was greater than it was, I would say would be Peter. Peter always thought, Lord, no matter what happens, I'll never leave you. I'm not like other people, and so on and so forth. He always thought he knew himself, and he had a very, very high view of his abilities and all the rest. And Peter needed self-knowledge. He needed a reality check. He was a great man, but he didn't know himself. And as trials came into his life more and more, he began to see who he really was. I thought I was courageous, and now I see that I'm a coward. I thought I was strong, but now I see how weak I was. I thought my love was just really strong, and now I realize that it's not what I thought it was. And God begins to reveal to Peter, and he does the same to us. He wants us to know where we're at, and he gently begins to show us. And it's important for each one of us to know where we're at, because when you don't know, you're going to get into greater troubles. You know, I've known some people who think, oh, I'm such a great preacher and this, that, and the other, and they go into these big churches and they last, you know, a few months and say, I quit. You know, you need to know who you are. You need to know what you can handle in Christ, and you might not be where you need to be. People go into places of temptation and they say, I'm sure I can handle that. And then they realize, wow, I've been defeated. You need to know who you are, and God is showing you who you are. And he's showing us this thing not to depress us, not to discourage us, but so that once we see it, that we will begin to draw closer to him. and rely on his strength rather than our own. Another purpose for trials is really to make us stronger. I read this at some point, and I don't know who wrote it, so I'll just read the quote. He says, "As we go through the pain of exercising our bodies, we gain strength. For instance, physiologists tell us there's a reason why we're sore after we lift weights. We are sore because we have worked the muscles past their ability. We stretch their capacity. And after a workout, they recreate and rejuvenate and grow back to a higher level of development than before. I tear down to rebuild. Through the process of pain, growth happens." And so God is taking us through trials so that as we go through them, we emerge stronger and purer from the very testing that he allows us to go through. And, even I'd say in relationships that go through trials, that if people submit to the testing of God and allow, you know, and realize and consider them and say, okay, why am I going through this? What are you trying to show me, Lord? What am I supposed to do? What does this say about me? If we allow him to work in our lives, the relationships themselves can get stronger. I mean, it will get stronger if you work at it. Very often there are relationships that have broken up, and everybody thought, I can't believe that they broke up because they never quarreled. They never had anything to work out or work through, and it didn't strengthen them. But when you're willing to accept that there are trials and tribulations and work through them, then what Jesus is saying, what James is saying, is that we will come out stronger. You know, people who have lived, as it were, in a Christian bubble all their life, or anybody who's lived in a bubble all their life, and we like to hang around only with people who think exactly like us, and so we never get our ideas challenged. But you know, like, I've known some people that have gone to secular schools, and when they came out, all of their ideas and their beliefs were challenged. But if you go through it with Jesus, with the Spirit of God, you can come out of that stronger than when you went in. There are many who have said, wow, I never realized how strong these ideas are. So God is, you know, taking us through this. I love this quote. If it wasn't for the struggle, you would not have the strength. God is always building you, even when it seems like he's breaking you. If it wasn't for the struggle, you would not have the strength. God is always building you, even when it seems like he's breaking you. And then thirdly, another goal that the Lord has in mind is to produce in us, as James says, the virtue of perseverance. What is that? Perseverance is people who grow up and have a characteristic of sticking with things, enduring things. They don't give up really easily. They don't walk away or run away very easily. They stick with things. And Jesus is developing in us. God is working in us so that we become people who don't easily give up. That we are people who are there for the long run. There are missionaries that I've read about who waited decades, 10, 20, 25 years before they saw their first convert. You know how difficult that is? Of just sticking with it, sticking with it. William Wilberforce, responsible for freeing the slaves in England, you know how long it took him before he saw a bill pass that said that the slaves were to be free? 20 years. 20 years. And he says he felt pain for the slaves every day of his life, for 20 years. It's really interesting. John Wesley, a contemporary of Wilberforce, wrote Wilberforce a letter. And he said this to Wilberforce. He says, "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils." This is the sign that God has raised you up for this very purpose. You will be able to endure. If God be for you, who can be against you? That's an incredible insight. You are there, and you're able to handle these things because God is in it. God is with you. Otherwise, you would have fallen away a long time ago. And so our effectiveness in the kingdom of God is going to depend on our sticking with it for the long run. Again, a passage from Paul, who, when writing to the Galatians, says, "Do not become weary in doing good." You see that? Doing good makes you weary. "Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So I just want you to notice that James' emphasis is that growing us up as disciples of Jesus is a slow process. God moves slowly with us. This character transformation isn't something that will necessarily happen immediately. So my encouragement, if you're just getting started in the Christian life, be patient with yourself. And those of you who've been around the Christian life for a long time, be patient with yourself and be patient with others, because God is patient with you. Okay, that's what James is saying. It's a process and it's going to take time. And then James says God is committed to us, and he's committed to developing a well-rounded Christ-like character in us. When the Spirit of God begins to, bring out stuff that is within us, it can be pretty daunting. And so, as I said, the Spirit of God is very gentle in showing us areas that we need to work out. He's going to show us, wow, I don't know if you've had this experience, but, it's like, wow, I'm proud. God wants to make me humble. Wow, I'm harsh. God wants me to learn gentleness. I'm too sensitive. God wants to teach me how not to take things so seriously. Wow, God is showing me how selfish and self-centered I am. He wants to teach me how to love others. And James is saying, look, God is going to be teaching you these things, and it's these trials, sanctified trials, that are going to bring this out. Allow God, permit God to work these things out in you. And don't accept just half a lesson. Go all the way with the Lord. In my life, Lord, be glorified. So let's acknowledge this, that our views are very different than James. I think that most of us would have to acknowledge that, boy, I don't see the value of trials most of the time. I don't think I need them. I would be very pleased if I never had them. But the Lord knows otherwise. And he who knows what's in us knows what is best for us. And I think we have wasted so many precious trials and lessons because of our unbelief, because we refuse to let God do the work in us that he wants to do. Instead, we get angry, we shut him down, as it were, and we say no. And so what ends up happening, that trial will come again and again and again until we have learned the lessons that God wants us to learn. So one more point before I end. So this week I was meditating on this verse, consider it pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And I'll be honest, I thought to myself, boy, that sounds like really risky advice. I could see it backfire. I could see people getting hurt. I could see people saying, boy, you know, so unsympathetic, so cold and callous. And I have to say, I rarely have ever had anybody, when I've shared my trials and troubles, quote this verse. They will say, oh, I feel for you. Or, yeah, I've been through things like that myself. Or, you know, hang in there. Let's pray about it, or something like that. I have never had anybody really come up and say, by the way, brother, consider it all joy. Gosh. Right? How would you handle it if somebody said that? So here's what happened to me. So while I've been thinking about this, my phone notified me that I had a text message. So I read this text from someone who I know has been going through a very tough time, you know, financially and so many ways. And now, in addition, it's like physically, I'm really low and all the rest. And so I text back and I said, oh, I had this scripture text on my mind right when you texted me. Perhaps the timing suggests this is for you. And I waited, wondering what kind of response am I going to get. So the response came back. This is a wonderful verse to hear right now, and very applicable, and very much what I needed to hear to encourage me on. It teaches me that it's not about my self-confidence or my need to depend on my own strength. Wow, it just struck me, trials are a blessing. I can grow in confidence and grow in maturity because of my trials. Trials cause me to depend on Christ. I don't need to carry the load on my back. It's on his shoulders where they rightly belong. I stand corrected, Lord. So, some of you may be wondering, wow, I'm not going to send him text. He's going to read it at a Sunday morning service. So then I sent another text. May I quote your response to the passage I sent you without mentioning your name during my Sunday sermon? And she responded, absolutely. That's wonderful. I'm overjoyed. Wow, I thought, more joy. This counsel of James really brings joy when we apply it to our life, when we receive it in faith, when we face trials of various kinds. God is in it.